Amen. Well, let's turn again, please, to the Word of God that we read together. I remind you tonight, of course, that we read in Genesis chapter 24, the great 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. And we read from the verse 50 down to the verse 58. My text tonight are those words of verse 58 with which we ended our reading. It says, "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Let that seek the Lord again. Father, we thank you for the reverent singing of these hymns. And Lord, the centered in Christ, the blessed man of Calvary, the one who went to the cross, bore our sins on his own body to the tree. That's why tonight we say, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lord, I need thy help to preach the word. I am very conscious, Lord, that without thee I can do nothing. I am conscious, Lord, that all human skill is vain. My need is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I pray to that end. I pray that as the word is preached, may it not be in word only, but also in demonstration and in power. And may it be to one end, and that is to the glory of God, to whom all praise in heaven and earth must be given. Hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In the Old Testament, God often preached the gospel through the use of human pictures. In his providence, whereby he, of course, governs all things, he would bring people together in carefully planned scenarios. And when we read our Old Testament, especially, and interpret it in the light of the New Testament, where the great doctrines of the gospel, of course, are opened up and explained, we can see how these various scenarios give a lovely presentation of the gospel. And so it is in this rather long passage in Genesis chapter 24. You understand here, if you're familiar with the passage, how Abraham, the father of the faithful, Abraham sent out his servant, his goodly servant, to find a godly wife for his son Isaac. And providence conducted him along the way. Read it all for yourself when you go home. Providence enabled him to find this wife for his master's son and to put this thought to her, this proposition to her. Will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. And of course, it is a historical account. It happened in time and space. But it reads almost like a parable, doesn't it? Certainly, we can see it in it, the gospel pictured. We can see how Abraham here, if we read it, would remind us of God the Father. We are a triune people tonight, are we not? We believe in God the Father. If Abraham reminds us of God the Father, then Isaac then, by necessity, must remind us of God the Son, remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the unnamed servant, who spoke not so much about himself, but spoke of his master. Well, he reminds us of God, the Holy Spirit. This young lady, Rebekah by name, will speak to us then of the sinner, because she's been wooed here to become the bride. And the bride which God seeks for his son is the church. Great passage in Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And what is the church made up of? Sinners. Converted sinners. Sinners who were once lost but now were found. We were blind, but now we see. Sinners who have been pardoned and forgiven. We can sing tonight, my sins are gone, and all the chains that once held us have been broken. In our text, the question is put to this young lady, again Rebecca by name, as to whether or not she would go with this man. And in going with this man, she would be consenting, saying, I do, as it were, consenting to be the bride of Isaac. And in verse 58, what we have here is really a moment of decision. She's making a choice. It's a moment of decision. And of course, in this gathering tonight, thousands of years later, the gospel is going to be preached. It has been proclaimed already in gospel song, and it's going to be preached again. And the challenge is going to be presented to you from the pulpit, and you're going to be called upon to yield to the claims of the gospel and to be converted. If obviously not already converted, we're preaching tonight for souls. We want you to be converted. We cannot leave you lost and alone, as the hymn writer said. No, we want you over there. That's what we're preaching for. We're preaching for then decisions, that sinners might be saved. The first thing that we have here with 3 points tonight, the first one is this, number one. We have the sound reasoning behind the question. The sound reasoning behind the question. And you will notice there, first of all, that it was asked by those who cared deeply for the welfare of this young lady. The words there of verse 55 make it clear that these words were put into the mouth of her mother and her brother. Wilt thou go with this man? Now we understand from early on in the passage that Rebecca was a very beautiful young lady and fair to look upon. And I think that it would be very accurate to say that as this young girl was growing up, that there was many a young man in the neighbourhood who cast his eyes wishfully upon her and said, what a beautiful girl she is. And maybe had romantic notions within his heart. And so her brother and her mother, there's no talk here in the passage about a father, her mother and her brother then would have been very anxious to have looked after her. And had this man, who of course has come out of the blue, come from a far country, had this man had any impure intentions towards her, had there been any danger perceived from this man, then he would have been chased away from the neighbourhood. I say tonight, if you're in the gathering unsaved, look around you. We say that we have not come in this church to rob you. We have not come to injure you. We have not come to harm you. And the reason why these meetings are conducted, our Sabbath evening by Sabbath evening, or special meetings as in your recent mission, we conduct meetings like this because we care for you. It was the psalmist David who lamented, no man cared for my soul. But you cannot say that tonight, because we can say that we care for you. And the reason why we have meetings like this is because the love of Christ constrains us. And where there is perfect love, the Bible says it casts out fear. Part of the wooing process, you'll notice here, lay in the production, verse 53, of jewels, of silver, of gold, and of raiment, that is, of clothing. And that was not so much to play as to play upon any greed that might have been present in Rebecca's heart. They say, isn't it, a girl's best friend, of course, is the diamond ring. But I don't think that's so much that was here in line. It was more to give an assurance, a much needed assurance, that her new husband back in the far off land, if she would consent, her husband was more than able to support her. When we read here about these jewels of silver and of gold, of course that has a very powerful and a very wonderful gospel application. Because when we preach the gospel, in the words of the Apostle Paul, perhaps the greatest preacher of the gospel that ever lived, he said, we present unto you, we display unto you the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. You consider your spiritual need tonight as you're in the gathering. If you're still unsaved, then you're still a sinner before God. Word of God says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. As a sinner, you have incurred, you have brought upon your head great guilt. Guilt against God. Guilt against the law of God. You have brought upon yourself severe bondage. You have secured yourself, if you die unsaved, a place in hell. Because the Bible says, if we die in our sins, listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. He says, where I am, or where I go, there you will never be. These are sad facts, but they're true facts tonight. The unsearchable riches of Christ, as we set forth in the gospel, offer to us pardon and forgiveness for our sins. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That all our sins can be taken away. They can be blotted out as a thick cloud. They will never be remembered against us anymore. Struck off the record completely. As far as the books of heaven are concerned. Removed from us. As far as the east is from the west. And the redeemed sinner, having had all his sins forgiven, the Bible says he enjoys what is called the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And sin shall have no more dominion over you as it has when you're unsaved. For whom the Son sets free, the Bible says, is free indeed. The future of the child of God, think of this tonight, Christian. Maybe you're looking into the dark nights of the winter. And maybe you have some fears in your heart because of one thing and another. But always remember this, the future of the Christian is entirely bright. There is a hope laid up for the child of God. We have a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. There is for the child of God a place reserved in the glory. It's not a wonderful thing. Reserved in heaven for you. And grace is given to you, and he giveth more grace. And he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again grace for you to battle on to the end and to be admitted at last into the everlasting glory. Oh, consider who it is that brings these truths to you. Maybe tonight all you hear is the voice of a mere man. And you decide, because we're all on the internet, one form or another, you inquire maybe a little into my background. Who is this man who has come to the pulpit tonight in Port Glenoan? Well, let me assure you, dig into my background, and you will see nothing there that is particularly impressive to you. You see, I make no claims of grandeur and fame. I got a little book just there on Friday. In a skillin, in a couple of the old bookshops there, picked up an old book by Spurgeon. Well, somebody actually had taken Spurgeon's sermons and lifted out many of his illustrations, had them all classified. And I had a lovely read at it on Friday afternoon. And he spoke about a Methodist preacher, an old Methodist preacher from a bygone age. And this preacher came into the pulpit. And he took the text, through this man, or by this man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And then he did something really strange that I'm not going to replicate tonight for obvious reasons. But he did something very strange. When he announced this text, he got down on his knees in the pulpit, out of sight. And all they could hear from behind the pulpit, slightly muffled voice going, by this man, not the man in the pulpit, but the man in the book. By this man, by Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And if you want to have they exercise your investigative powers. I say to you, set them to work on this book, on this Bible that we preach from at all these meetings, that we love so much, that we stand on, that we contend on. And you will see when you investigate it, it is what it says it is. It is the word of him who cannot lie. It's the word of God. And you will see that this book changes lives for the better. It changes entire communities. I'm sure Port Glen Owen, like many a Presbyterian town in Ulster and in Antrim, has its stories to tell of the great revival in 1859 when entire communities were changed, because this is a book that makes wicked men good if they'll pay attention to it. And I say tonight, you can trust this message with all your heart. I ask you again to remember that you have a soul that needs to be saved, and salvation is being offered to you today on that most secure of foundations, the word of the living God. You remember Peter? We read of all those disciples. John chapter 6. They left Christ and they went away. This is a hard saying. Who can bear it? Who can listen to this type of thing? And away they went from the Savior. And Jesus turned to Peter, to the disciples, and he says, will ye also go away? What did Peter say? Speaking for the rest. He seems to have been the spokesman. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Yes, we could go with a crowd. Yes, we could tag on at the end. We could lead them out. To whom shall we go? Thou, singular. Thou hast the words of everlasting life. The sound reasoning behind the question. They asked this girl, will you go with this man? That leads us secondly to the simple question itself. The simple question itself, not just the sound reasoning behind it, that they cared for her and so on, but the simple question itself, wilt thou go with this man? Now immediately, of course, this man was this unnamed servant. And ultimately, this man, behind this man, as it were, was Isaac. But we're taking this passage tonight in the gospel, aren't we? We're looking at it through the lens of the gospel. We're looking for Christ in the passage tonight. And we find him here because this man is the one who is called in the word of God, the man Christ Jesus. See, we love this story, sweet to hear. We love to tell its worth because it tells us God the Son came down from glory's throne to die. It tells us how he became flesh and he dwelt among us. And he took to himself, as our little catechism reminds us, he took to himself a true body and a reasonable soul. And it's very interesting that this little phrase, this man, crops up several times in the New Testament. I have already given you one. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And I don't see that as a coincidence. I see God preaching the gospel in Genesis 24 here. I thought about Luke 23, verse 41. Who's the witness here? It's a dying thief upon the cross. A man who appears to have sobered up at the last moment. And he says concerning the Savior who's hanging beside him on a cross, he says, this man has done nothing amiss. This was the testimony of a dying thief to the absolute sinlessness of the Son of God. And that's a vital truth. Because on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says he would become sin for us. He would bear our guilt. And the one who would become sin for us, the one who would bear our guilt, must himself know no sin. If he knows what it is to sin, if the prince of this world can come and find something in him, then he cannot be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But this man that we want you to yield to meets the qualification, because the word of God says in him there was no sin. There's another reference to this man in God's word. It's in John 7, verse 46, one of my favourite verses in the scripture. I think it's wonderful. What a testimony. Never man spake like this man. You see, this man spoke with all the authority of heaven. The words that I speak unto you, he said, they are spirit and they are life. He offered salvation to all who would want it. It's not just a matter of apply for it and we'll pick out a few. No, all who want to be saved can be saved. He silenced his foe. It says his foes, after three of them in a row came and tried to take him out, as it were. It says, after that, no man dared ask him any more question. He silenced them all. The devil tempted him in the wilderness after 40 days and 40 nights. Satan pops up behind a rock and tries to tempt him, and he sent the devil packing. He sent him packing. He went to the cross. And there on the cross of Calvary, it says, he cried, "It is finished. It is finished." Never man spake like this man. I'm putting to you tonight, if you can't trust God's Son, who can you trust? If you can't trust Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, who can you trust tonight? Hebrews 10, verse 12, now a reference. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. That brings us back to the cross again, doesn't it? Behold the Savior on the cross, a spectacle of woe. See from his agonizing wounds the blood, incessant flow. Does that not testify? Does that not prick your heart tonight that here is one who loved me? That's what Paul said, the Son of God. The Son of God, he loved me and he gave himself for me. You see, it was not all talk. He did not shrink back. He laid down his life freely and voluntarily. And here's the success of the mission, for he finished the work that the Father gave him to do. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He finished the work. Luke 15, verse 2 is another reference. It's the jabe of the Pharisees, that hitting and hateful crowd that dogged his every footstep. Listen to their words. It's a sneer, but it's true. This man receiveth sinners. Oh, thank God tonight that he does. If he just came to call the righteous, he doesn't have to call the righteous to repentance, because the righteous don't need to repent. You can't say sorry for something that you haven't done. But he came to call sinners to repentance. And he's not going to call sinners to repentance and then not receive their repentance and not receive them as sinners. He came into the world to seek and to save and to receive sinners, and he will receive you tonight if you come to him, because he gives a cast iron guarantee. Again, never man spake like this man. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see the simplicity of the challenge tonight. We say to you, will you go with this man? I say resist the temptation to evade the issue. Don't start looking for little excuses. Don't clog it up with lesser questions and with arguments tonight. Address the will directly, doesn't it? Will you go with this man? The Lord Jesus said one time, he turned to a crowd of people, John 5:40. He says, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You see, man damns himself. Man damns himself. He refuses the only remedy for sin. And he embraces the virus of sin. And he seals by doing so his own doom. He damns himself. And maybe you've done that in the past. Continually said no to Jesus Christ. You've maybe sat through gospel meetings, gospel missions, gospel appeals. Where are you tonight? You have to say, I am a Sabbath day nearer to hell than when I first begun. That's sad. That's worrisome tonight. That's really worrisome tonight. So again, we've got the simplicity now of this question. Will you go with this man? We see here thirdly and lastly the saving response to the question. Because when it was put here to this young lady, Rebecca, and they said to Rebecca, they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go? Will you go with this man? She said, I will go. Has it struck you yet as we have been preaching this passage and you've read it maybe quite a bit? She'd never seen this man. Nowadays, of course, with photographs. Nowadays, you have a wee video on your mobile phone. And he could talk to her. Hi, Rebecca, I've heard so much about you. And I would love you to come and live with me. But you didn't have it in those days. She had never seen this man, but she had heard so much. She had heard so much. Remember what it says of John the Baptist? Jesus said of John, John did no miracle, but all that he spake of this man was true. Remember what Peter said? He wrote to the Christians in his day, way on now to maybe AD 50, 60, maybe a little bit more. He said of Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. There's nobody here in this meeting. Even the most spiritual Christian has seen Christ with the naked eye. Thomas believed when he said, I will not believe thee. I see the wounds in his hands and in his side. And then he, of course, acknowledged, my Lord and my God. Jesus says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed, you're not missing out tonight. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet they have believed. And even though Rebecca had never seen this man, she heard enough. She heard enough. And she said, I will go. Yes, I will go. The report was true. That's all that matters. Is it true? Is it true? Is it believable? Is it credible? Yes, it is. And her faith was well pleased, was well placed. Her decision was very resolute. It was immediate. She says, I will go. And go she did. You can read on a little bit there. I think it's lovely. Verse 61, she arose. She brought her damsels with her. They rode upon the camels. They followed the man. The servant took Rebecca. He went his way. And they come into the south country. Verse 62. And there's Isaac by the well of Hiroi. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the even time. What a way to find a new husband, meditating in the field at evening time. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw the camels were coming. Rebecca lifted up their eyes. This is the first eye contact that the both of them had. Isn't it lovely? Isn't it lovely? And when she saw Isaac, she laid it off the camel. She says to her servant, what man is this who walketh in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. And oh, the humility here. She takes the veil. And she covers herself. Don't we have the veils in the weddings, don't we? Maybe it's coming back to that. She veils her face. The servant told Isaac all things he had done. And listen to what it says, verse 67. Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebecca with the ring on her finger. And he made their vows. And he brought her into the tent, and she became his wife, and he loved her. You know, this is more than just an ancient love story. You can picture this, couldn't you, maybe in a film, all the nice orchestral music at the end. You know, do you ever watch films? I always listen to the music. Music sort of sets the scene. If you had the sound down, it would make no sense. But this is more, much more than an ancient love story where they all lived happily ever after. No, again, it's at the very heart of the gospel, isn't it? You see, tonight in this gallery, the Lord Jesus is calling you to himself. If you're not saved, he's calling you to himself. And the question's going out tonight. It's going out to your heart because it's an individual thing, isn't it? Wilt thou go with this man? He's calling you out of your sin. He's calling you out of the condemnation that attends to your sin. He's calling you out of your guilt. He's calling you out of your chains. He's calling you out of your bondage, out of your hopeless future. And he's calling you into his tent. He's calling you to be saved, to embrace him as Lord and Savior of your life. Will you go with this man to the friend who died to save you? Wilt thou not be reconciled? Will you not come tonight? No better night than this, Lord's Day. No better place, the Lord's house. No better means, the Lord's word. It's all lining up tonight. But if you don't come, you'll not be saved. You'll not be saved. It's those that come are those who are saved. I suppose from a human point of view, Rebecca could have just said, no, I'm not really that interested. We fell up the road and we're interested in him. I don't want to get out of here from this far country. Well, didn't happen like that, did it at all? There's a story there way behind the scenes we could tell. But here's the point she came. And we don't put pressure on people in meetings. We don't buttonhole people, hold your hand at the door and not let you go or anything like that. But I do really want to press upon you from the pulpit. This is the night you need to be saved. If you're not already saved, or if you're backslidden, and you've got away from your first love. The marriage, as it were, has gone cold. That love is gone. Those peaceful hours you once enjoyed. Oh, how sweet their memories still. But oh, they've left that aching void. This world can never fill. There is one here that loves you. The Christ of God. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will. I will go. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts. We're going to close by singing the words of 603. 603, we're bound for the land of the pure and the holy, the home of the happy, the kingdom of love. You wanderers from God on the broad road of folly. Oh, say, here's the words again. Him picked itself. Oh, say, will you go to the Eden above? 603. And then at the end of the hymn, we'll stand to sing, remain standing for the benediction. 603.
Thank you.
before we dismiss the meeting, you're concerned about your soul, don't you rush away. You want to speak with me? I can be around for a little while more. I'm in no hurry away tonight. But we say this, don't leave the house of God unsaved. In fact, even when you're standing there, just lift up your heart to God and tell him, yes, I'll go. I want to be saved. Save me now. And the Bible says he'll do it. You want to come to him in repentance and in faith, he'll save you. He'll not cast you out. Heavenly Father, thank you for your help tonight in the preaching of the word of God. We set great store by the preaching of the cross, for it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching, what the world considers foolishness. Yet it pleases God by the preaching of the cross to save them that will believe. Grant that saving faith, that repentance, we pray. And we ask you now, Lord, to take us to our homes in safety. In Jesus' name.